There's been a lot of violence in the Democratic Republic of Congo since 1996, when the civil war started. And of course, although the war is officially over, there's still some very, very volatile regions. And it seems like in the Congo forever, they've used rape as some kind of weapon of war. And today, even in the areas where there is no war going on, you still have lots of rape cases reported. And that's why we're very much alarmed. I mean, there's total impunity. The lack of justice, we think, is also making it easier for people to just continue raping as they've done in the past.
The data that you all have collected, I understand, shows about 1,244 women being sexually assaulted throughout the country, and that's an average of almost 14 assaults each day. And also, this was pretty much the same thing last year, so it really is unchanged and could possibly be even more. What is being done to try to curtail this?
On our level, we're trying to minimize vulnerable women's exposure to situations where they get raped, for example, in the camps. We know that it's when women venture out to go get wood or water that they are raped. So we provide them with firewood, for example, or fuel-efficient stoves so that they don't have to go get wood as often as they would. But overall, if you look at the numbers, the scale of the problem is just still too overwhelming. Not enough is being done, really. If you look since 1996, more than 200,000 cases. We know for sure that not all cases are reported because culturally victims prefer to keep silent because if it's known that they've been raped, they get ostracized. Women, for example, after suffering rape, get abandoned by their husbands because culturally it's a shame for the family, for the husband, to have a woman who's been raped. And so he abandons her with the children, so she has to then cope with that. We do have programs to assist such women as well, you know, at UNHCR, but it's just not enough. It's a political problem. It's a security problem. The government has to make sure that there's a better judicial system.
Through your counseling that you do provide for the women, what are they telling you? What are they saying that they're feeling on the inside when this is happening to them?
It's shame a lot of the time. Some say that they would rather die because of what they've gone through. And these are women from all ages. Personally, I've seen an 8-year-old testify a couple of years back in the Congo telling the audience that she was taller. But then after the rape, she felt she had lost some of her height. She couldn't even walk. She had to be hospitalized. A lot of the women talk about shame. It's not even anger. It's not even saying they did this to me, they have no right to do it. It's shame and how to deal with the community.
Shame is certainly something hard to overcome because it comes from a deep down hurt inside of a person. It's one thing to be able to help someone on a medical level, but how do you help someone who feels as though it's their fault and who is hurting inside?
What we're trying to make sure that these are crimes, that rape is crime and it's recognized as such and that they're prosecuted. So we provide legal assistance. For example, in South Kivu province where the number of rape incidents is really high, we've helped 145 survivors file complaints in local courts. And as a result, for example, there were 24 men charged and they were sentenced to jail terms. Some of them were ordered to pay compensation. And in addition to that, we ran a very major information campaign. Of course, those could take time to produce results. But we have seen in certain communities where we involve the women, the local authorities, the police, the army, the husbands, to explain that the woman who's a victim is a victim and that she shouldn't be held responsible. And we've seen in very small communities positive responses sometimes, but it's still way, way, a long way to go.